Welcome to Everything Under the Sun and How You Really Feel. Tonight we have a special episode. And this episode is dedicated to my sister, Michelle Harris, aka Mickey. Mickey was born July 17th, 1969. God called her home September 23rd, 2005. What a day. What a day. Today is her birthday. It has been 17 years. And I still have the same feeling today that I had September 23rd. I am one of those people that show very little emotion, that can be a weakness and a strength. When not showing emotion, people definitely believe that you don't have them because you don't show them. Why someone would believe that you are emotionless, I don't know. I just know that I don't put my emotions out there for the world to see. And in saying that, since my sister has passed away, emotions have kind of gone to the forefront of my life. I kind of pushed everything to the side. I really didn't deal with too much emotion besides anger. And I was always quick to anger. More reluctant to say, I love you. Even more reluctant to give out a hug. And in some cases, I'm still that way with the hugs. My sister's death changed my mind, my heart, my soul regarding telling the people that I love them. Before she passed away, we were, that's hard to say. We were 2.5 years apart. My mother had 5 girls. One we were unaware of. I always thought all of my life that I was the oldest child. Come to find out 5 years ago, I am not. So we lived all of our lives thinking it was just us 4 girls. I was the oldest. Mickey was the second. Shannon third. Marion fourth. My mom wasn't one that gave out hugs and I love yous herself. So everyone says you're a product of your environment. And I believe that, you know, I believe it to a certain extent. I also believe that you can overcome. And I have. It took my sister dying for me to overcome. But I've overcome. When Mickey was alive, she was the friendly one, the smiley one. You hardly seen a smile on my face. I figured I didn't have anything to smile about. Growth, baby. Growth is something else. Because I no longer feel that way. And again, it took my sister passing for me to even realize what I was doing, how it affected some people that were closest to me. And the worst part of that is that Mickey passed without seeing me grow. She didn't get to see me grow. She knew the hard Kelly, the one that didn't let anything touch her emotionally. I was blunt. I didn't take any crap. You know, I had four boys to raise, so I figured that in order for me to raise them and raise them right, keep them out of trouble, that I needed to be a certain way. And again, that's the way I was brought up also. My mom, I honestly do not ever remember her telling me that she loved me. My mother did for us. She worked hard. She took care of us, our clothes. We never wanted for anything except for the one thing that I was missing, that I didn't know at the time that I was missing. I just figured, hell, she didn't like me. But there's a backstory to that also. But over the years, in raising my four sons, it only got worse for me in regards to really not giving a damn. As long as I took care of me and mine and made sure the people around me were okay. Mickey's death taught me a lot of things. Prior to her death, she was the smiley one, the happy one. Everybody loved Mickey. And she used to have this thing where on everyone's birthday, you can expect a phone call from Mickey. And I'm trying to tell you, this girl thought she was the greatest rapper in the world. And it was more like, I can hear her now. I can hear her now. She would try to beatbox. And I'm going to give you a little example. But it's nuts. And she would make us laugh all the time with the happy birthday to you. That's the kind of shit she did. She would call you on your birthday, and that was her birthday rap. She called me every day. She never missed a day. You know how you take things for granted? I took that shit for granted. I don't know if I just expected her to call or knew it was coming, but it was a part of my life. And I did not realize how much it was a part of my life until it was no longer there. No longer there. I remember when we were growing up, with only being 2.5 years apart, but I was a whole lot different than Mickey. She had asthma. She really didn't like to play too much. She liked to be up under our mother. And that was the last thing I wanted to do. I wanted to be outside. I wanted to be riding my bike and doing this and that. We were total opposites. I was a fighter, you know, and I believe Mickey probably got in one fight when she was younger, and that was because I stood there and made her fight. Someone was picking on her, you know, and I made it happen. Like, don't you walk away from this. But she was the good version of me. So throughout the years when we were growing up, my mother believed in favoritism. And even though our relationship is wonderful now, wonderful, my mom's my friend, when I was growing up, not so much. And I don't know if it was because I was independent of her thoughts, independent of the things that she did, because she did make reference at one point in my early years that I was independent and they needed her more than I did. Well, that created someone who did not reach out to people. Very introverted I became. So I kind of kept to myself, raised my boys. Mickey was still there. We were living in the same state at one time as adults. And then I stayed in Tennessee maybe 6 years. Then I moved. And then I ended up in Cincinnati. After being in Cincinnati for 2 years, Mickey came. Man, my sister followed me to Cincinnati, you know? Stayed with me for about a month or so until she got her house and things like that. But over the years, I realized when we were younger how jealous I was of her, because she did receive my mother's attention, because she did get the things that I did not get, the affection. And I thought something was wrong with me, or something was wrong with my mother, and Mickey had something that she liked and I didn't have it. So there were years spent of jealousy and not want to be around her. And when she moved to Cincinnati, we became a little closer, you know, a little closer. And she never stopped doing what she did. She never stopped being Mickey. Still got the phone calls every day. And I don't really call anybody. I'm not a phone person, per se. I don't like to sit on the phone and talk, because I am such an introvert. I am very awkward in society. That does not mean unintelligent. That does not mean I am not knowledgeable, because I hold a very nice job and I have to use this brain of mine every day. But she had a quality that I did not have, and that's more than likely why I separated myself from my sisters. So when she did move to Cincinnati, as I stated, we became closer, a little closer. And then Mickey started getting sick. She had diabetes. And Mickey ate crazy shit. She would kill a 2-liter of pop in like one sitting. If you all drink pop like that, y'all need to chill out. Pop is dangerous as shit. Yes, we all love it. Yes, it's good. And if you have to have it,
I would suggest it in limited quantities. Because I know it's not normal to drink a 2-liter in one sitting. You know, but that was her thing. And chicken livers and all this other kind of stuff. Well, when she developed diabetes, she wasn't taking care of herself. You know, and she was private, but not, if that makes sense. So I'm there in Cincinnati with her. She's there with me, but I'm unaware because I'm on a career track. I've got my boys. I'm checking on her, but I'm not checking. You know what I'm saying? I'm in my mid-30s at the time. And basically trying to achieve that goal, reaching for something. And in reaching for something, I forgot about something. And that was my sister. I always ask, and don't get me wrong now, I love my sister. Loved my sister. Love. Not ED. Love my sister. And she had this way about her where people just gravitated towards her. And it worked for her. It didn't work for me. You know, I look stern, you know, and I've got this, you would think that I'd been in the Marines or I was a former cop or something because, you know, that's me. I make no apologies for it. Believe that. But she became sick and, she really wouldn't say how sick she was. And then when you have a sick relative, well, myself anyway, you believe certain things and you don't believe certain things. Back in the day, if I saw you up and walking and eating pizza and driving around and things like that, my assumption was you cool. You're all right. What a dumbass. Man, I had my head stuck up my own ass. My head was buried in the dirt. I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't checking for my sister. Am I my sister's keeper? Most definitely. Most definitely. But she was very secretive also. So if I did learn anything, it's because she either ended up in the hospital and I was told what was going on then, or I just wasn't told. You know, I was getting married 2003. I've been married a couple times, so the dates are kind of fuzzy. But I was getting married, and Mickey was coordinating my marriage. And she had this sore on her foot, and with her having diabetes, that sore became something ridiculous. And you know why? Because she wasn't taking care of herself. She did not take care of herself. Side note, if you love somebody out there and they love you and you want to be here and they want you to be here, tell them what's going on. Fix the things that's wrong. From headaches to diabetic ulcers, things like that. Speak up. I would have made her go to the doctor. She went to the doctor. The doctor would give her information, and she would fail to follow through. So she's got this big, giant, ulcerated sore on her heel. And the day I was getting married, she was supposed to stand up with me, and she could not make it. She could not make it because she was really ill that day. So my ceremony went on, and you know how they go down the line and congratulate the bride and groom, things like that. So my mom, and we're still not in that place that mothers and daughters are supposed to be in. You know, she hugs me on my wedding day. I'm standing next to my new husband. She hugs me in the line and whispers in my ear, "Mickey's not long for this earth, Kelly." Mickey's not long for this earth. Can you imagine hearing that on your wedding day? Your sister's not there. The one that helped you coordinate it, she's not there. And then your mom whispers in your ear, "She's not long for this earth." First thing I did was get pissed. Because first of all, don't tell me anything like that. Because when you're in my spot, nobody dies like that. Not your sister. Nobody just... I didn't believe. This was in April. Soon after that, events turned. Mickey, they had to go in because that sore on the bottom of her heel was taking over her heel. So they were going to amputate. Now, keep in mind, it's just me and her here in Cincinnati. My other family is one way. My mom and my other sisters are another way. So it's me, Mickey, her daughter, and my sons. So tag, I'm it. Hospitals, talking to doctors. She gets her foot amputated. It was supposed to just be her heel and take some parts off, this, that, and the other. They went in and the infection had traveled. And they had to take off more than what we talked about. And also during that operation, her heart stopped. No one told me that. No one told me that. So when she comes out of surgery, and I'm being told that they've taken off her leg up to her knee. Matter of fact, beyond her knee. I go into recovery again. I'm still not crying. Haven't dropped a tear yet. Gotta soldier it through. I'm not crying. I'm gonna make sure my sister cool. So I go in the recovery. Mickey wakes up. And she looks at me and say, "Where's Sydney?" That's her daughter, my niece. I tell her who she's with. And she said, "Why am I here?" And I said, "You had an operation. You remember they were operating on your foot?" And she said, "Oh." And then she asked me again, "Where's Sydney?" And I tell her again. It's very patient. And she's asking questions. And at this time, I do not realize that she really does not know where she is, even after I tell her. Because then she says, well, why am I in the hospital? I said, you had surgery, Mickey, and they were operating on your foot. And I said, and they had to take off a little more. And she said, what do you mean? Because, again, I'm thinking that she knows that this operation didn't affect her memory. And I tell her, I said, they had to amputate a little further up above the knee. And she said, what? I said, they had to amputate right up above your knee. And she just started crying. And she said, they took my leg. Guess what? That's when I broke. Because I had been repeating myself for the last 20 minutes, expecting her to come out of this. And then I later found out, because her heart stopped and blood pressure dropped, that affected her short-term memory. And I broke and I had to leave the room. I left that room, and you know what phone call I made? Straight to my mother. I was so torn up, so messed up, I couldn't even get anything out. My mother and sisters were there the next day. And you know why they came the next day? Because they said, Kelly doesn't cry. So if she's crying, we need to get there. And they got there. My sister made it up out of that hospital. Got her prosthesis. She was moving around. She was doing things in months. In months. The kidneys were failing. Her heart was at a certain percentage. I didn't know all this. This is overtime shit. This ain't something that just happened. So when she would tell me that this is the percentage of this, the hell, I don't know. So her kidneys started failing, and she became a dialysis patient. I wanted to get information on giving her one of my kidneys. Still, I was in denial. Didn't think it was as dire as it was. Come September, the beginning of September, she had to go into the hospital again. And her and I, about 10 o'clock at night, were sitting in the hospital room. And we both love Laffy Taffys. I can eat the shit out of some Laffy Taffys. And she liked them too. And I was pulling out an apple, green apple Laffy Taffy. And she said, can I have that? And I was like, yeah, here. And she was like, you gonna bring Sydney up to the hospital to see me tomorrow? And I was like, yep, I sure am. So I gave her my green apple taffy, and we were sitting there talking. And the next words that came out of her mouth were, I'm not coming back here no more. I'm not coming back here no more. And damn it, she meant that. Because when I left the next morning, I was planning on going back up to the hospital since I had been out late. I slept a little late. So it was like 9 o'clock before I got up, and I planned on going to the hospital shortly after I got ready. At 10:30 that morning, I received a phone call from the hospital. They asked for me. I said, "This is she speaking." And they said, "Your sister, we took her in her breakfast and we left the room. We came back and she was unresponsive." And I'm just sitting on the phone listening. And I'm still, okay, just unresponsive. And they were performing Herculean measures. I didn't know what that meant. I know what it means now. Unresponsive registered. And I had an asshole of a husband back then. So he was worried about something else. And I'm flying out of the house. My oldest son, I pass him up and I say, they said, "Mickey's unresponsive at the hospital. We got to get there." I'm all jacked up. So he drives. He drives, pulls up to the hospital. I jump out the car before he even stops. And I run straight into the hospital, ask where my sister is. I go up to the room again because I didn't know if they had changed her or not. Went up to the room and there was a white sheet of paper on the door. And I didn't know if I should open it or not because they said they were doing things. So I don't know if they were washing her up, what they were doing. So I was just standing there and a nurse came up to me and she said, "Are you Kelly?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "I was your sister's nurse." And I looked at her and I said, "Was?" And she said, "I'm so sorry." I opened that door. Side note, again, I was afraid of death. I didn't want to have anything to do with death, afraid of the dark, things like that, you know? That day, I seen my sister laying in that bed with that tube still in her mouth. Gone. She was gone. And her words rang true. "I'm not coming back here no more." And that's all I could think of. I got to that hospital at 10:45 a.m. I sat next to her bed with my hand in hers. Then my oldest son comes in. He breaks down. I'm just sitting there holding Mickey's hand. This is not real. This is not real. This happens to other people. Next thing I thought, my God, I have to call my mother and tell her that her daughter is gone. I have to call her friends. I have to call our family. Man, the hardest phone calls I ever made in my life. my mom checked out on me. I was left to handle everything. Second hardest thing in the world was going to get Sydney, because I sat there. I did not leave until 4 o'clock. My person, Debbie, who I call my person, I made a phone call to her and she was right there. She was right there. That ex wedding. And no, I haven't forgotten that. It was hard. And it's still hard today. Still hard today. Every June 17th should be a celebration that she's not in pain anymore. But it's not. Because the dynamics of our family, Mickey's 2.5 years younger than me, but my other two sisters, one's 15 years younger than me, and one's 12 years younger than me. So it was them two and us two. Now I'm alone. I scheduled her funeral. I made her obituaries. I did everything that I possibly could. I kept my feelings intact. I didn't break down. But baby, when I tell you I learned some shit from my sister leaving here and leaving me here, I learned how to say I love you. Even if it's not returned. I'm still not that great of a hugger. I just don't. But I will tell you I love you in a heartbeat. She would be so proud of me. She would be so proud of me if she seen me. The boys, 21 grandkids, all her nieces and nephews, her daughter, her grandkids. We have kept it going. And I think like half the kids in the family have her name. Either Michelle. Yeah, everybody's Michelle. I miss her so much. And I'm trying to tell you, it is straight bullshit. When people say it gets better with time, it has been 17 years and it does not get better with time. Am I sitting up wallowing and not leaving my bed? No, I am not. I still have to live the life that I have left. But is there a missing piece in my heart? Is there a strong desire, to see my sister? Yeah, it is. And with today being her birthday, and it being the time has elapsed, and the time frame has been so long, and the same feelings are still there and still just as strong. I needed to talk this out. I needed to talk it out because I can't keep that in me. That's what she taught me. Am I blubbering at the drop of a hat? Hell no. But do I feel? Hell yes. I don't have a problem with telling my friends, I love you. Believe it or not, me and my mom are like two peas in a pod. I'd die for that woman. Make a person wear a colostomy bag over that woman. I'm not such an angry person anymore. I have feelings. And Mickey's death brought him to the forefront. I would rather people had hated me to my death. I would rather had been the same person that I was if it meant that she would still be here. Or I would gladly reverse time and be the person that God wanted me to be, evidently. Because as soon as my sister died, I broke that dam that I had been holding in since I was old enough to realize they had broken. And I don't ever want anybody to feel this. I don't want anyone, if you love them, tell them. I promise you, I'm an example. Don't wait. Stop waiting around on shit. That one person that means a lot to you, it may be in the plans. It may be destiny. It may be something. That awakens that thing. And that thing for me was my emotions. And not taking for granted the people around me. I didn't take anything from them. I didn't do anything harmful to them. I just didn't give them me. And I should have given her me. I love her. I miss her. I would give anything on earth to have her back. Anything to have her back. So, if you love someone out there, man, tell them. If you love someone and you see them going down the wrong path, man, tell them. That's the thing that I learned. I can love you and still tell you what I see. Still communicate that I see you doing something wrong. Let me help you. Let's find someone to help you. Let's talk about you helping yourself. Don't allow them to just be out there floundering. Especially if you know that your person is secretive. Pull that shit out of them. I'm trying to tell you I go the extra mile now. I'm trying to tell you that I pay attention to everything. Everything. If I missed it, that's because I was watching five other things. Keep them close to you, people. Keep them close to you. Watch out for them. Everybody nowadays is self-absorbed. Check on your people. Check on your people. because I am my sister's keeper. I love y'all.
Happy heavenly birthday, Mickey.